blessings that we enjoy by being a Christian is the support that we receive from other people, because sometimes that support is dearly needed. Sometimes we're in spiritual crisis and we need someone to give us a kind word to lift us up. In fact, this is what the Bible teaches us. The strong are commanded to support the weak. In the book of Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, Paul said, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength." And so there are always, should always be those among us who are going to be weak. And they're going to need the help of those who are strong. And sometimes we may find ourselves in that position as well. Sometimes we may be in a point of crisis and need other people to support us. Those who are spiritually strong are taught to help those who are overcoming sin. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul said, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one." I understand that the idea of caught there is the idea of being overtaken, and sometimes even to be surprised. And so a person is caught at a weak moment and overtaken in sin. And so then it behooves those who are stronger to reach out and to help these folks, because many times we could be the very one who needs help ourselves. It is a part, really, of fulfilling the law of Christ. In Galatians chapter 5, or rather chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul said, "Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." And the word for burden here is a word that carries with the idea of a load that is impossible for a person to bear alone, that he needs someone to be able to help him, to be able to get under the load, and to be able to help him bear that burden. And so sometimes we find ourselves in need of having someone or needing someone to help us bear a burden that we have. And what a wonderful thing it is that we are in a fellowship of believers where when we are having a weak moment or when we're in spiritual crisis or things are difficult, we're going to have someone who will be there to help us. Truly, it is a part of bearing one another's burdens, of fulfilling the law of Jesus Christ. At the same time that I say that, I also want to emphasize that each of us have a responsibility to grow and become strong ourselves. In fact, in this same context, in Galatians chapter 6, we find where the Apostle Paul says in verse 4 beginning, "But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another, for each one will bear his own load." While they are the same word in the English translations, particularly in the New American Standard with the word load, and in, I think, the King James as well, it is the same word. The original words are different. And here is the word that would carry with it more the idea of a backpack, more the idea of a person's daily burden, a daily load that you have to carry. And no one else can carry it for you. It's just a responsibility that you have. We are held accountable for our own actions. The Bible teaches us in Romans 14 and verse 12, so that each one of us will give account of himself to God. There is an individual responsibility that we have and for which we will be accountable when we stand before Almighty God, and it's something that no one else can do for us. It's a burden that no one else can bear. It's a load that we all must bear. So therefore, we have the responsibility to lift ourselves out of the pit of weakness and do our very best to become strong individually. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, "Therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed." The idea here is, he says, make straight paths for your feet. It is an individual responsibility that we have. Earlier in the book, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity." So the idea here is that there comes a time in each person's life when they themselves should grow to a point where they ought to be teachers. But in the condition of some of those to whom this writer was addressing, the Bible says they had not yet reached that point. They still were in need of milk. They could not digest the meat of the word. They had not exercised their senses to be able to discern the difference between good and evil. And so the writer is exhorting them, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, to press on to maturity. And so an application of the passage, must we? Yet some Christians never seem to grow beyond the point of having to have support from someone else. They never seem to progress from being supported to supporting themselves. They remain very dependent upon other people. And unless they are constantly nurtured and cajoled, they can become apathetic. They can quit attending, and sometimes they can fall away altogether. These people are the people that I usually refer to as high-maintenance Christians. And so we've got to ask ourselves the question, are we high-maintenance Christian? Are you a high-maintenance Christian? Now, this term is not a term that is unfamiliar with us. It's a term that we use quite often. We use it typically to refer to something or someone that needs a lot of attention in order to remain in good working order. Something or someone that requires a lot of time and energy or money. I don't know how many of you young people who are of driving age can understand this, but I promise you that those of us who are a little bit older can understand that there have been times in our lives when we have used this phrase to talk about the cars we might own. We might have a high maintenance car. We're trying our best to help our car limp along until such time that we might better be able to afford another. And so we're constantly having to add oil. We're constantly having, because it's burning it or using it or leaking it or whatever. We're constantly having to repair the shocks or something else on the car. There's just always something that needs to be done to the car. Now, true, some cars need maintenance all the time. Even new cars have to be kept up if they're going to last very long. But you know what I'm talking about when it comes to nursing an older car along, trying to get the very last ounce of life out of it. Some of you may be familiar with employees that require close supervision in order for them to be able to do their work. As long as you're standing over the left shoulder watching what they do, then they typically do a fairly good job. But the thing about it is once you turn your back, once you go to something else that you need to be doing to try to do your own work, then they're going to start doing something else. Their mind's going to be diverted to something else, and they're not going to put in the kind of effort that they need to do the kind of job that's expected of them. Sometimes we might use this phrase to talk about our significant other that requires a lot of attention or a lot of gifts, or they're going to feel neglected, or they're going to lose interest. I know of people who have seen themselves or seen their mate as a high-maintenance person, and that is quite difficult. I tease my wife about this, although she's about as low-maintenance as you can imagine, but there are people who are really high-maintenance folks. You've got to always be giving them something in order to be able to keep up their interest, and if that's not there, if the relationship is not enough, then it just seems to degenerate because they're high-maintenance people. Well, we can also use this term to describe some who claim to be Christians. Christians who are high-maintenance people. And they are high-maintenance people if they require a lot of attention in order to remain faithful. I have been an elder for several years now, and I will tell you that there are some people that you have to constantly be calling in order to be able to encourage them to come. Now, I understand that some encouragement is needed, some encouragement is necessary, but at some point, you would think that a person would get strong enough to where they don't have to have a call from an elder in order to be able to come to worship next Sunday. Some people are high maintenance Christians if they require a lot of coddling and pampering to be active. Sometimes you've got to be very careful, walk like you're handling eggs in dealing with some people, because their feelings are just so fragile that you have to be very careful lest they get their feelings hurt. Typically, Christians who fall into a high maintenance category are either babes in Christ who have just obeyed the gospel and started out their new spiritual life, their journey in Jesus. That's understandable. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. Or on the other hand, they're slothful Christians who worship and do no work unless they are just constantly prodded. Now, sometimes even churches can be high maintenance churches. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think the Apostle Paul found the church at Corinth to be a high-maintenance church. "And I, brethren," he says, beginning in verse 1, "could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshy? Are you not walking like mere men? When one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not mere men?" They were wrestling with problem after problem after problem, as you can see as you read just quickly through the church, the book of 1 Corinthians. You can see the different problems that affected them. And the Apostle Paul addressed these issues. And I think he felt the need to, because without doing that, what would have happened? Again, I believe he saw them as a high-maintenance church. But then you think about the church at Philippi. You read in Philippians chapter 1 of a church that's much different than the church at Corinth. It's not that it didn't have its problems. You can read at least of one of those in Philippians chapter 4. But when you look here in Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, the Bible says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me." And so here is a church that Paul could say, "I am so thankful for your participation in the gospel. You have helped me in the gospel on more than one occasion. And I'm confident that he who began a good work in you is going to complete it. He's going to perfect it in the day of Christ Jesus. Because I know you've been there to strengthen my hands in the imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You're there to partake of this with me." And so he saw them as a strong church, not as a high maintenance church like Corinth might have been. Being a high maintenance Christian is understandable at times. But it's also to be understood to be a temporary condition. It's certainly not a permanent one. Being high maintenance is normal when we're talking about a person who is a new Christian. In fact, I think sometimes we may have baptized people, taught them the truth, and they've obeyed the gospel. And if we're not careful, we've kind of left them at the baptistry steps and left them to fend for their own. And in a time in which they need the greatest instruction and encouragement, we've kind of left them to themselves. And that's not a good thing. They are truly, when people obey the gospel, they are truly babes in Christ. And they need our encouragement. They are high maintenance just by the very nature of things. In much the same way as when you have a baby born into a household, there are some things it cannot do for itself. A child born into a house cannot eat for itself. It cannot talk. It's going to have to learn later to walk. And there are going to be times when, as a toddler, it's going to fall. And it will fall. And it's going to need someone to help that child get up. And to continue to learn how to do better the things that we want it to do better in. The same thing is true with a child of God when they are born into the kingdom of the Lord. When they are born again, they're going to need instruction, they're going to need feeding, they're going to need exercise that they can best get it as they are walking alongside you. They're going to need to see your example, And sometimes they're going to get weak and they may fall, and you may have to call and say, what's going on? Can I help? And then they might say something that you realize they're headed down the wrong track. You say, can I come over and talk with you just a little bit? Can we spend some time together to talk about these things? And so what you do is you spend time with them to encourage them and to nurture them along. Young Christians who are weak in faith, weak in knowledge, are very susceptible to danger and disease. And so without proper attention, without teaching, without encouragement, and even correction at times, they can truly be overwhelmed. And so truly it is understandable when a person is born into the family of God and they need help, that they are high maintenance Christians, and those of us who are strong, those of us who are older, need to help them in every way that we possibly can. But this is not the only time when a person may be a high maintenance Christian. A person may be a high maintenance Christian when we're talking about someone who is hurting. Someone who has come into a crisis in their lives and their faith begins to waver or weaken. And it could come about as a result of just about anything. And so as someone might get a physical disease, sometimes it may be when someone gets a physical disease that their faith begins to waver and they may need some help in being stronger. Sometimes it may be when they are injured, when someone is overtaken in a fault or suffering some illness or persecution, they're weak and they're in need of strengthening. Whatever the hurt may be, there are times when people hurt. I've heard it said, never take for granted the fact that there are hurting people among you. And I've also been able to see in recent years that we should never take for granted that there might be someone hurting sitting in every pew. And when that happens, we need to be there for one another. We are a support system for one another, a spiritual support system. And we truly need to be there to encourage and help one another. In these cases, high maintenance is called for. And we're commanded to do what we can to help. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, Paul said, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone." And so we need to help where help is needed. But there are times when becoming high maintenance is actually a hindrance. Being high maintenance is actually a hindrance when it becomes a perpetual state of weakness that is something that continues on and on and on and is tolerated. It's allowed to continue to be that way. You see, God expects us to grow. In Ephesians 4 and verse 15, Paul said, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ." There have been times in dealing with people that I must tell you that I have felt a sense of frustration. And while most of the time I've been able to kind of keep that under control, there are times that I want to say, "You need to grow up. You are a Christian. You've been a Christian a long time. You need to grow up. You need to just kind of strap things up and just be the man or the woman that you are called to be in Christ. You need to grow up and quit acting this way." As newborn babes, we're desired to the sincere milk of the Word, or the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. God expects us to be able to grow in the things of Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Every single command to grow, and they could be multiplied, every command to encourage and help others to grow necessarily implies that we should expect growth from one another. I need to expect you to grow, and you need to expect me to grow. I think the commands to discipline actually relate to the concept of growth in many ways too. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, the Bible says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life, and not according to the tradition which you received from us." Now, that word unruly there means disorderly. It's in defiance of good order. And so here is a brother who is living an unruly or defiant life. He is in defiance of good. And the Apostle Paul says in verse 14, if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him so that he be put to shame. Now, when you think about that, think also about this. Tolerating a weakened condition can sometimes transition from helping the weak to the position of compromising with and accepting that state of weakness. And we need to be careful lest we do that. We can actually become the kind of people who would enable someone in their spiritual weakness. We can become enablers by allowing this kind of thing to go on and on and on. And I'm not talking from a standpoint of someone who wants to be dictatorial over a person's life. I'm simply talking from a standpoint of an older Christian who's wanting to try to help other people and instruct other people to the fact that they must grow. They can't remain in a continual weakened condition. It weakens the church instead of strengthening them. And Paul's command to discipline those who were in defiance of good order in Thessalonica was to the effect that their conduct was no longer to be tolerated. It could not be tolerated among the saints there. Being a high-maintenance Christian becomes a hindrance when it hinders the growth of the church. You know, the church grows through evangelism, through edification, and through benevolence. We've talked about these as being the work and the focus of the church. I think probably sometimes it's better when we talk about the work of the church to break those things down into further categories so that we can kind of see a little bit more what all it is that the church is supposed to do and how that we're supposed to engage one another. But it's our work to be about teaching the lost, our work to be about strengthening one another in studying and so forth. And sometimes there are times when we need to help one another with needs that we might have. But when undue effort is spent on a select few, the growth of the church is affected. And I think sometimes what happens is that 90% of our labors goes into 10% of the people. And we're unable to help other people. Our work as a church is hindered because what we're having to do is we're having to deal with these high maintenance people. A person is considered to be a high maintenance person, and it becomes a hindrance when it holds back the efforts of workers. Paul desired to preach the gospel where Christ was not named in Romans chapter 15 and verse 20. Yet I truly believe that there were churches like Corinth who held Paul back from doing some things that he might otherwise would have done. And there are times today when dealing with high maintenance people can hold back the efforts of workers who could sometimes be used doing other things, but because they're having to continually work with high maintenance people, it just drains their energy, drains their resources, and particularly the resource of their time. Becoming a high-maintenance Christian or being a high-maintenance Christian becomes a hindrance when more serious needs go unmet. Babes in Christ, when they're not being helped because somebody's having to work with a high-maintenance Christian, just simply having to coddle someone when you could be doing something else and need to be doing something else, that's a problem. When the sick and the dying are being neglected because others require our attention. Someone would say, well, you don't need to choose one or the other, you need to do both. And in as much as possible, yeah, you do need to do both. But sometimes we're distracted from the more important because of the tyranny of the urgent. Because it seems to me that when you deal with high maintenance Christians, that every need they have is an urgent need, something that clamors for your attention and for your attention right then, when there may be more important needs that are lying there that needs to be taken care of. Well, that leaves us with one other thing that we need to talk about, and that is, how do we overcome being this high maintenance Christian? If we see ourselves in that position, what do we do? Well, we've got to do it through individual growth, first of all. We have to grow ourselves. We need high maintenance when we are babes in Christ, but we should reach the point where we don't have to have it, where we can become providers and not just recipients. where instead of just being a consumer, we can be a servant. We talked about yesterday how that we enter to worship and we leave, we depart to serve. God calls us to be His servants. Over and over again, we read about the need to bear good fruits. This is in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And Galatians chapter 5, there's fruit that's to be born and work that needs to be done. And so we need to make sure we understand our role. And our role is to grow to such an extent to where we can be involved in helping other people instead of always requiring resources ourselves. Again, we call your mind to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Paul said, or whoever the writer of Hebrews might have been, I really have no idea who it was. He said that you ought to, there's a time when you ought to be teachers, but you need now for someone to teach you the milk of the word again, because you just simply cannot yet take the milk. We need to grow. And we might need to also say that we can cease to be a high maintenance Christian. We can overcome being a high maintenance Christian when we individually strengthen ourselves. Strength from brethren is certainly helpful when we need it. But we also reach the point where our strength comes from God, where we can become producers and not just consumers. Think about the example of the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 4, he said, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." And he found in Jesus Christ the strength to do the things that he needed to do, to be the person that he needed to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." Yes, Paul went through some very difficult things. He continued to say, "But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer." Paul suffered a great deal. But in all that suffering, he was able then to turn around and help other people as well. And that's the place to which we all need to grow. We all need to find individual growth. We all need to find the individual strength that we might be able to reach out to other people and help other people and not just be consumers ourselves, but be willing servants. Now, my purpose has not been to discourage high maintenance when it's needed. For truly, we are to bear one another's burdens. I understand that. And the strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak. My desire has simply been to challenge you to think about your service to the Lord, to reflect about your work in the kingdom, and to be strong enough and to be mature enough to be able to, as an individual, bear your own load and help those who are around you bear theirs. When burdens become unbearable, that's when we need high maintenance from our brethren. But when failure to bear our own load requires high maintenance, that's when the cause of Christ is hindered. There is a statement that is made in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9 that is a statement that we need to keep in mind. "He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." I've used this to talk about the Christian work ethic and how that, you know, there are people who are not working, and what happens, they find themselves doing more destroying than they do building up. But how often is that not, that's also true among our brethren when we look at people who are slothful in their work as a Christian and doing the things that they need to do. They don't really see themselves as a hindrance to the church. And while not a hindrance, they may see themselves as not a strength either. But here, what the wise man's saying is that a person who's slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. And I think that's something to really think about when it comes to helping or encouraging people to overcome being high maintenance. Thank you for listening to me this evening. I hope that this has been an encouragement to you. I guess the big thing is that you've got to ask yourself, are you a high-maintenance Christian? What kind of Christian are you? Because you see, if you sit and listen to something like this and you don't make application of it, it's not really of any value, is it? So you've got to ask yourself, what kind of a Christian am I? Am I one who can bear the weaknesses of the weak? Or am I one who is constantly in need of help myself? What kind of a Christian am I? We're going to sing Trust and Obey. What a wonderful song it is. It's a song that encourages us to do that very thing, to put our trust in Jesus and to obey Him, live the kind of life He would have us to live, so that one of these days when heaven is over, we might be with God in eternity. And I can't imagine anything that would be more joyful to hear than for someone to be beside us and say, I would never have made it were it not for the help that you gave me. Is there someone that you've helped? Is there someone whose way you have directed to heaven? Are there people who will be among that number one of these days when heaven's call comes? There may be someone here tonight that needs to obey the gospel of Jesus. The invitation is open, and we're ready to help you in your obedience to the gospel in any way that we possibly can. If there is the need to obey the gospel, then the first principles of the gospel would be glad to help you. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you need to do that tonight. If you've obeyed the gospel and you're young and you're weak and you need help, then there are brethren here who will strengthen you. If there's a burden of sin that you're carrying, we'll be glad to help you with that as well. With our instruction, with the encouragement to repent and confess whatever it is that you've done. And pray God that He'll forgive you. We know it will because it says it will.